Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
Now you may very well have heard the Bishop on with us the first half hour of the program here on WBEN. Among the highlights, bankruptcy is being discussed. However, bankruptcy is not imminent within the Buffalo Diocese. Donations and attendance are down. The Bishop of Buffalo was concerned when he found out that Father Richard and Seminarian Bojanowski had purchased a car together, but was assured by Father Richard that it was simply a platonic relationship, despite the...
You say an apartment, not a car.
A house.
Yeah.
A house. Did I say bought a car together?
Yeah.
Which, oh, I'm sorry.
You know, it also is odd.
So that would be odd, buying a car together. No, they were not living in a car. They did buy an inexpensive house together. Let's see. So the bishop did talk to Father Richard about that, was assured that it was a platonic relationship, despite a rather steamy letter that has been going around town. And, you know, of course, people can make their own judgments. And we're asking you, obviously, about the interview, what you heard from the bishop, you liked, what you heard that you didn't like. By the way, we're doing a non-scientific WBEN web poll. And the question is, what is best for the long-term good of the Diocese of Buffalo? Bishop Malone steps aside. 55% of people who have responded say that. Bishop Malone remains until his mandatory retirement. 45% of people say that. Nowhere near the number of 86% allegedly who say the bishop should resign in a poll done by the Buffalo News. Keep in mind, our poll is a non-scientific poll. I'm presuming the Buffalo News did a poll that adhered to, the standard public opinion polling, statistical analyses, and how you do things like that. 12 minutes after 5 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Our previous caller did not wish to hold on, so we will get right back to, everybody in order on WBEN. First up, we have Tristan in St. Catharines, Ontario, Canada. Tristan, you're on WBEN in Buffalo.
Hi, guys. I got you on speakerphone here. I hope that's okay.
Well, go right ahead.
Yeah, I guess I should just say I'm not Catholic. I have major theological principial differences with them. So as an I am a proud Protestant. As a proud Protestant, I have to say I find this all almost comical. And I find it almost comical because I think it's more indicative of how bizarre our post-Western culture has become, that Christians and Westerners think that they actually have a say as parishioners or as non-Catholics in the hierarchical structure of an institution like the Catholic Church. I mean, I found myself rooting for this bishop, even though I really don't care a thing about Catholicism, when that politician of yours, that congressman,
Brian Higgins,
when that guy had the nerve as a political figure to say that the bishop should resign, I think at that point I changed entirely and thought to myself, that bishop, he should just take a strip out of that guy and tell him to suck a parsnip. You know, the nerve of a politician telling a church leader to resign is, how can that not be lost on people as to how bizarre that is? And not only since they're the first ones to always scream about separation of church and state. I mean, who the hell who does that guy think he is? And that more people didn't, like, speak out and say, you know, keep your comments to yourself.
Well, just to put it in a little bit of context, at one point during a mass about 10 or 15 years ago, Brian Higgins was called out by name from the pulpit over, I believe, his stance on abortion. And he and his family were made to feel very uncomfortable. So that's a little bit of the backstory that you might keep in mind. Not saying that what Brian Higgins did in calling for the bishop's resignation was appropriate or inappropriate, but there is a backstory there.
Well, I mean, there's a backstory to all of this. As you guys have pointed out, the culture's become more progressive, which speaks to why people actually think that they would have a say in whether this bishop should stay or not. Again, I'm not Catholic for many reasons, but I'm looking at this more of a cultural phenomena and as to where we are in the West and how inane and corrupt we've become in our understanding of you know, even the republic. You're a constitutional republic with a democratic sort of outlet, but people treat it more like pure democracy.
Well, Tristan, you, sir, have hit onto something that, we've mentioned in the past, but I've had many conversations about the Bishop Malone issue with Catholics in Western New York who basically left the conversation saying, he doesn't have my vote. I was like, you don't have a vote. You have no say in this whatsoever. Just as I can't go to a mosque and give what who cares what I think? You know, you're an American citizen. You're our neighbor. You worship a different God. God bless you. But I'm not going to go involve myself in someone else's faith. And I'm certainly going to have, you know, a point of view. You would think that people that want Bishop Malone to step down actually had something in common with the Catholic faith. These are half of these people don't go to Mass at all. And the other half, if you ask them about any of the tenets of the dogma of Catholicism, will look at you and say, I don't believe in any of that.
Exactly. And it comes down to the poor teaching of the I think a lot of churches have done a really bad job at teaching their parishioners doctrine. I hear it all the time. I'm anti-doctrine. You know, this big movement about it, just want to have a relationship with Jesus. That's all fine and dandy, but that relationship is based on a set of principles, a set of doctrines. And I think Christians, Catholic or Protestant around North America are uniquely ignorant about their own cultural traditional doctrines. And this is indicative of it, you know, that Catholics and non-Catholics actually think they can say, I think this bishop should resign, and we're going to have a movement. And if there's enough mass appeal, that'll force him out. And on that level, I would say to this bishop, stick to your guns and stay the course.
All right, Tristan, thank you. We're going to move on WBEN. This is Bill in Eden. You are on. Hello.
Hey, Tom. David always says to get the view from 30,000 feet. And I liked what the bishop said when he brought up the evil one. And that isn't just the general sense of evil in the world, but when he's referring to the evil one, he means Satan, which is kind of like the name meaning opposing. That's why, like, Jesus called Peter Satan, you oppose me. Get behind me, Satan. He didn't mean he was the devil, but he was opposing him. Or Lucifer, which is like the light falling from the heavens. Or just the devil, the word diabolic, which means division. And I'm thinking of, we're seeing a lot of division here from your poll or the different things in the newspaper. And I think, for instance, like the priests that are against, that have signed that thing, a lot of them probably were them who had actually suffered abuse on their own. Like, I'm not telling stories out of school here, but, you know, the people that's in the paper, like Father Richard said he suffered abuse, and Father Ziliak suffered abuse, or perhaps priests that know people who did, or maybe some priests that are, maybe I could say, like, they massage papal teaching, the ones that wouldn't say the words of the institution, you know, when they kind of confect the Eucharist.
Well, I don't quite understand if the people who serve under the bishop as priests, if this petition only has 18 signatures calling for this bishop to resign, that's not a real good showing.
And you're a statistician, so I mean...
Well, I'm not really a statistician, but I know that 18 out of 250 ain't a lot.
Well, I heard your earlier show, Tom, and a couple of the shows, too, and just kind of listening to them. And from what I was getting a sense of was there like are a lot of broken people out there and people also who misunderstand what the Catholic Church is. I think of what Bishop Sheen had said, his famous quote, where he said, there are not over 100 people in the United States who hate the Catholic Church. There are millions, however, who hate what they wrongly believe to be the Catholic Church. So I think we just need to kind of get a sense of what the Church is. And in fact, I had a thought for you, Tom, maybe for like some kind of future show in the distance. I know someone who wrote a book called Why We're Catholic, and he's actually wanted to actually talk with you in person on air sometimes too. But he could answer questions on the fly very eloquently and very respectfully, questions like, you know, if the show was like, why are you an atheist, or why are you pro-choice, or to what do you object with respect to Catholic morality? Something like that would be really great for people to call, because, in fact, Bishop Sheen said earlier, if Catholics believed all the untruths and lies that were said against the Church, we probably would hate the Church 1,000 times more than the people who say they do. So those are kind of things that were in my mind. And I like the way the bishop said that there's that new adult protocol that is coming out for handling abuse cases involving adults. And it hasn't been trumpeted enough, but the bishop did say, too, there are no substantiated claims against a priest ordained in the diocese in the last 30 years. And as I understand it, there have been only 4 substantiated claims involving conduct occurring in this century. So that Dallas Charter that deals with protecting God's children was implemented in 2003. Even though it was signed in 2002, it was more widely implemented across the country in 2003 because they formulated the processes and got approval from the Vatican level. And then in October of 2003, in the Diocese of Buffalo, we began the public Protecting God's Children workshops. And then the rollout of criminal background checks began in December of 2003. So,
now, hold on, if you got something else you want to add to that on WBEN. It's got a press release that this 1929 Ford Tri-Motor, the first commercial airliner that was really into regular service in the United States, one of these planes is actually coming to Buffalo, I think, on October 3rd. And that sounds really cool. Like nothing like going up in an almost 100-year-old aircraft. I'll be stupid enough to do it.
Wow.
It is.
Or you can join the Iranian Air Force.
Let's go back to Bill in Eden as we talk about the bishop having been on the show earlier. You'll be able to hear it again at 6 o'clock.
I was going to say, too, in the following audit year, the diocese worked to ensure that age-appropriate training for children in schools and parish faith formation programs were implemented throughout the diocese with that 2003 Dallas Charter that it's called. So I'm glad that we have that, and I'm really encouraged to hear that within the next week, as the bishop said, there should be some protocol for handling cases involving adults. So that was like the main thing. I know this is Lightning Talk Radio. It's kind of like the Tim and Susan rapid fire they used to have. And I could demonstrate lightning for you, Tom, but I'd have to charge you.
Yeah, not a good idea. Lightning in a bottle. Thank you very much. I could demonstrate lightning myself. It is 524 at News Radio 930 WBEN. We go to Tim in Clarence. Tim, hello.
Hello, this is Tim.
Got you loud and clear.
All right. Well, I'm in Buffalo, but that doesn't matter. Thanks for taking the call. I'm 68 years old. Born and raised Catholic by a mother who was converted. I've seen and heard a lot of stuff. I am no great, wonderful person. I've got a lot of sins to confess. But when it comes to the likes of His Honor Bishop Malone, I have to look back at all the things that happened, and I'm saying for his own sake, for the sake of the organization, he's got to step down, because it's an old boys network defending their own jobs and defending a brick and mortar organization that has been controlling so many things throughout the years, throughout the decade.
But how would Bishop Malone's resignation change that?
But I just got to say, that is one of the most frightening things I've ever heard articulated in a public setting. That is the most un-American statement I've ever heard in my life. Based on what's happened in the past, you, sir... But could you imagine if you made that statement about a Democratic governor, based on the abuse of former Democratic governors, based on all the horrible things governors have done in New York State, you have to resign from office because you represent that. I think he agrees with me.
Yeah, I think he...
No, but what I'm saying is I want to hear your point of view, but that's an outrageously irresponsible statement.
Yeah, I think he left us.
But you can't say that because of all of the things and all of the mistakes. Sean McDermott should step down as Bills coach. Why? Because we had Dick Geron was such a horrible Bills coach, and we have not done anything significant in the playoffs since Wade Phillips. Therefore, Sean McDermott needs to resign. What did Sean McDermott do? He's the coach of the Bills. They brought up too much pain.
Understood.
It doesn't make any sense.
All right, we have to break. We've got the news coming up at 5:30. Our phone number on WBEN. Well, you heard the Bishop on the program. You'll rehear the interview coming up at 6 o'clock on News Radio 930 WBEN. Your comments, your thoughts on his future and what it ought to be, or maybe something you heard during the interview. We'll do lightning radio, meaning we'll try to get to as many people as quickly as possible. 803-0930, the phone number *930 and 1-800-616-WBEN.
I slowed down the lightning. I apologize.
I'm
new to this.
No, you didn't slow at all in the least. In fact, I'm going to slow it down because you kind of rolled your eyes at me when I said that I wanted to go up in the first commercial airliner
that's got disaster written in
1920. Do you think that's a bad idea?
That literally has disaster written all over.
Going up in a 90-year-old aircraft?
I don't care how much work has been done. I don't care if that's a 1985 engine. That's just disaster.
I am a sucker for early airplanes. What can I say?
Well, that's wonderful. we'll get that Entercom obituary ready, just in case.
We wish him well.
Yeah, I mean, it's got disaster written all over it.
It is 5:40 at News Radio 930 WBEN.
The only thing from 1920 you should be riding is like a Model A, Model T.
Oh, now that would be nice.
Because it won't blow up.
Maybe like a 1934 Ford V8, something like that. The Bonnie and Clyde car, one of those.
But it's got four wheels and no engine.
You weren't here when I did the motorcycle show. Let's go to Connie in Snyder. You're on WBEN, Connie.
Oh, hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling in support of the bishop. I want him to stay, and I want him to use all the strength he has to stay with us and help us. I'm calling because I wanted to thank both of you for talking today about something I thought I was all alone. I was the more I heard about the story as it unfolded, the more I kept thinking of Justice Kavanaugh and of our president and what they've been going through. And it sounded so similar. And as I would tell friends or explain to them, oh, no, Connie. If you're Catholic, you're Catholic. But you two today, I just wanted to thank you, and I wanted to express my feelings on that I'm glad you brought that up, and it makes a lot of sense.
Now, do you think, in other words, at least some of this vitriol and hatred directed not just against this bishop, but bishops in other places, is motivated by people with a temporal, secular agenda who are trying to basically take the bite out of the Roman Catholic Church, which has many anti-progressive items as part of its theology, and that they're trying to fundamentally transform the Roman Catholic Church so it ceases to be a force standing in the way of socialism and progressivism and godlessness.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it better, Tom. Thank you so much. I don't want to take up your time, but I've met the bishop twice. In social settings, I worked for the diocese. in the 1990s as their head of testing in the elementary education department there. And I am definitely brought up. I was definitely brought up Catholic, and I'm so proud of our bishop. I truly am, that he's standing strong, and I hope he can continue to be as strong as I heard him today and at other times.
So you're a Catholic, I assume, Connie.
Oh yes.
Okay, and you voted for how many bishops?
Oh. I love that.
Well, but the truth, I don't think people have any idea what is involved in the process. It's not an election. He's not running for a re-election.
Isn't that something? You are right on point today. Just wonderful. When I listened to both of you, I had to wait and call and just take a minute or two to thank you. You made me feel sane.
Well, and that in itself could be disturbing, but thank you very much. I appreciate the call, Connie.
That's true. Thank you both.
803-0930, *930, 1-800-616-WBEN. I mean, do you guys believe that there could be a political component to all of this? Yes. Let's go to Samuel in Tonawanda. Samuel.
This is Dan in Tonawanda.
All right, it said Samuel here, but I guess it's Dan. Okay, Dan.
I just want to say you're missing a component. There's actually two scandals going on. The first scandal is the pedophilia scandal, which because of the long lag between when a child is abused and when they come forward, there could be a lag 20, 30, 40 years from that. Now, that's largely been inherited by the bishop, but that's not what's going to take the bishop down. There's a second scandal involving, let's call it, vulnerable adults. Vulnerable adults are people, probably foreign nationals, worried about losing their green cards, who are getting abused by priests when they go through the seminary. And that's what happened to Father Richard. And I know that because I'm a parishioner from St. Amelius.
It sounds like you've got more to say, so keep going.
Let's hear it.
Well, I want to lay this out for you. As you just heard on the announcement, there is no current guideline for adults. So this is gray area.
Right.
Now, the analogy I would give you is a boarding school. You run a boarding school. The local kids go home to their parents during the school breaks, but the foreign students go to host families. If the host family abuses the student, they're very unlikely to come forward because they're in America, coming from another country, sitting on a green card with probably very poor English. And who's going to believe them? So, if you look at the Archbishop McCarrick scandal, what people aren't understanding is it's the sex trafficking element, so to speak, not the pedophilia or the direct abuse.
Well, there, as you, I'm sure you're well aware, there were allegations made that being deported to Poland was among the possible punishments if Father Richard did not keep his mouth shut.
Yes, and because I'm a parishioner of St. Amelia's, we heard that whole situation a year or two before the scandal broke. And it's important to point out that the reason he's coming forward now is because now he has citizenship. And something I want you to consider is, why was he in the bishop's office to begin with? He did not choose that position. The bishop chose him to keep him quiet.
Well, yeah, that has been alleged by some.
Yes.
Okay, but I guess what I'm trying to say, though, is that this is a theory that you have. What's the basis behind it?
The basis behind it is,
you're saying it's a plausible theory.
Because I'm a parishioner at St. Amelius, I've heard from Father Richard 2 or 3 years before this came public to the rest of the world.
And what did you hear?
That's basically what I heard the Richard report, is that he was abused when he was in the seminary. Mm-hmm. He was abused by Father Art Smith. and then he was threatened with deportation by Bishop Gross. And in order to make sure that he wouldn't make waves, he became the bishop's secretary. I mean, you guys have interviewed David LaPuma many times. Is he anything like David LaPuma?
I don't remember ever talking to the guy.
Yeah.
You might have us confused with the morning show.
Okay.
Yeah, I've never talked to David LaPuma.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
But no, it's fascinating. I guess my takeaway here is that if Bishop Malone went through the entire diocese and said, who has same-sex attraction? Well, we can eliminate this potential from ever happening. You guys over here, who here is, experimented with women and who's openly dating a woman? Okay, you guys go over there.
Right.
You're all out.
Yeah, and
what would the response be to that?
The response would be, well, I think I'm going to say largely negative.
So there's awkwardness in a lot of this scandal, but unfortunately, you've got a side that I don't take. You know, 8 months ago there was you can't have multiple reasons why you change your thesis statement as to why someone should be removed from office. You get one shot. Right.
Right.
President Trump colluded with Russia. Now he won't release his income taxes. Right. Oh, by the way, he's got other people that won't testify in front of this committee. That's why he should be impeached. Oh, no, it was a trade deal he made with Poland. Oh, no, he had a conversation with Putin.
It was golden showers.
What was the transcript of the conversation with Putin? Well, he should resign because of that. He should be impeached because of that. Well, you just want him out. If Bishop Malone did everything, you know, his secretary says for him to do. You are running the Diocese of Buffalo. I'm the bishop. I hold the title. You make all the decisions. These protesters still want him out. It's Bishop Malone. They want out.
We are at 5:49 at News Radio 930 WBEN, Bowerly and Bella Via on your Thursday drive home. So, David, can you believe what's going on in Canada right now? Our neighbor to the north, major, major controversy. It is like wall-to-wall coverage on Canadian TV over sexy Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister of Canada, and the fact that he, shall we say, wore some very inappropriate costumes, not as a teenager.
Tom, the appropriate time to have come up with this revelation would have been when the Virginia governor was being... A lot of people made little, hey, I find what the Virginia government governor did to be reprehensible. However, in 1985, I may have moonwalked on a few stages myself with a couple of darker shades of, whatever I put on my face. A lot of people did that. They took their licks. They owned up to it. For Justin Trudeau... For especially not only the way he's perceived in Canada, but the way he's perceived throughout the world, this is one of the biggest, I mean, the progressive thing, the idea that he's on the right side of everything, he's dressing up. You want to talk about, you know, blackface, he's dressed up as a monk in Indonesia, he's dressed up as everything. He cares about everyone. He's the modern guy. He's accused of slapping a butt and sexually harassing someone in a bar. Right. He denies that. So now we've got one picture that shows up. It appears to be something that he did in the early 90s. And it was in brownface, not a big deal. Then it comes out that in 2001 he did it again when it came to dressing up as Aladdin as a school teacher, an adult school teacher in 2001. And then, of course, he did it in the 90s. And now people are asking, how many times did you do it? And his response is, look, you know, it was stupid. I shouldn't have done it. It was wrong. It was this. It was that. I'm like, but in 2001? I mean, 2001 is, I know everyone says it's been so long since 9/11. But that was certainly in an age where being portraying Al Jolson in a retelling of...
It was not cool.
That was certainly not cool. Ted Danson was getting hell for his blackface in 2001. It was out there that was frowned upon. It's one thing to be 1984 and you're a boob who's not connected to anything and you think it's cool to be a Jackson. It's a whole different story in 2001. In Canada, by the way, the most friendly... I mean, there's nothing more progressive than... Canadian culture. They're on they're half Europe, half North America. They're constantly making everyone feel nice and wonderful.
Well, how
could you do black? Come on.
Well, and how could you ever have any bad feelings against a country that gave us Labatt and Molson?
But again, you know, should he resign? Should he do this? Should he? Those are your people on the left telling you that you need to resign for every mistake you've ever made. I don't think the guy should resign, but I think it's clear he's thoroughly humiliated. He looks like a complete fool.
Well, and he also looks like a hypocrite who does not present himself the way he really is, that he's presenting himself fraudulently.
Unlike the people that were yelling for Kavanaugh to resign because another person came out with a story right. that never actually came out with a story, and then the whole thing was taken back. And I mean, it happens in real time, and nobody is accountable. Nobody in the media. What Canadian journalist is holding Justin Trudeau to anything he's said in the past? He's got a statement out there on the Virginia governor. He's got a statement about Colin Kaepernick. He's talking about everything outside of his border, Trump and Mexicans and you name it. Justin Trudeau, so wonderful, but now he's deeply sorry.
Deeply sorry.
Sorry.
Sorry. Well, our organization would not tolerate those kinds of photographs.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.